Welcome back to Sports Day. Well, tennis is always in the news at this time of the year for very different reasons in some respects due to the COVID crisis right around the globe. And tennis is a global sport, Jimmy. But it's always great to talk to people who are at the coalface. And one bloke who's made an enormous contribution to tennis, as well as being a great tennis player himself, is Darren Cahill, and he joins us on the line, the coach of a dual slam winner, Simona Halep. Welcome to you, Darren, and great to have you on board in 2021.
Great. Thanks, Jared and Jimmy. Good afternoon.
It's a really difficult time, no doubt, for all athletes dealing with this, but you've got a world-class player who's been at the top of a game for a long period of time, won a couple of slams under your guidance, and I suspect you have to point to the opportunity that's here for someone like Simona rather than dealing in the negatives.
Geez, I might have to get you on the phone to it, have a bit of a chat. Stay positive with everything that's been going on. It's been an interesting year, and tennis has been one of those tough sports where, because you're not localised and playing in one country and rely on tournaments throughout all over the world, and I know that Tennis Australia is dealing with bringing in players from over 100 countries into Australia. It's an enormous operation, and for the players to get their head around what's going on down here in Australia as well. Every country has their own set of rules when they're dealing with the COVID-19, and Australia is probably one of the strictest. And for them to get their heads around the fact they've got to do 2 weeks of semi-hard quarantine down here, it's not easy for everybody to understand. But what's online is that a chance to play the Australian Open, which is a Grand Slam, and keep a lot of us employed, not just the players. Obviously, the top 20 or 30 players are doing very, very well. But the players outside of that, you know, they need the money and they need to keep working and keep playing. And it also keeps a lot of coaches involved, a lot of physios, a lot of trainers. So, yeah, the industry needs to keep ticking along. And that's why Tennis Australia is doing such an incredible job for everybody to put this event on.
Darren, conditioning, we see a lot of sports with athletes with COVID and the restrictions on training, tennis being, you know, mainly obviously an individual sport. Does it still affect conditioning? Because so much of that goes into the good players.
Yeah, it does. Look, I can't talk for everybody, Jimmy, but I can talk about my situation with Simona. And I've seen her 7 weeks, I reckon, of about 2020. And most of my coaching has been done through PlaySight, which is a little Go camera that you put on the back of the court so I can watch her practice. But because we've been separated, with me being here in Australia, it's not easy for me to get out of the country or to get back into the country, and certainly not easy for her as well. And even at one stage, she did come down with COVID-19, so she had to do a couple of weeks isolation with that. So from a coaching perspective, it's been an incredibly challenging 2020. And from a physical point of view, for the players to keep that, as you know, to keep that motivation, to keep training and keep yourself in top shape. And a lot of the times you get that extra 5% on just competing and just playing. And because tournaments have been few and far between for tennis players, it's kind of hard to know where you are and to keep that motivation for getting out there and going through the whole process day in, day out. So, yeah, tennis players, I think, have struggled a little more than a lot of other sports because of the international flavour. But we'll see. One of the great things about the Australian Open is that it always works out who's done the work and who hasn't, because coming down here and playing in the heat is not an easy thing. So we'll be able to sort out pretty quickly who's ready to win here.
Simona is one of those rare players that can play on any surface and win, you know, final Australian Open, one French, one Wimbledon, semi-final US Open. What's been the big focus for her? Is it just picking the right tournaments, you know, getting right for the big event?
Yeah, I think her consistency has been underrated over the last 5 or 6 years. She hasn't dropped outside the top five in the last 5 or 6 years. And for someone like Simona, who's about 5'6", and she doesn't have a major weapon in her game, to be able to do that week in, week out, and keep winning and keep her ranking at the top of the game, really proud of the fact that she's been able to do that, because it's no easy thing. And you'll see a lot of players kind of that play a little bit similar to Simona, that they'll have one or two really good years and then it just gets the better of them, because physically it's so demanding to do that. So they'll have a bit of a slump for a year or two, their ranking will drop way down, and then they'll come back again. But Simona hasn't done that. She's been able to find that fire within her belly to keep on competing, and she hates to lose. You probably, if you watch her play, you see that on the court. She gets incredibly frustrated when she's down and nearing defeat. It's one of the great things about her is she's such a fighter, and she does it the tough way, and she finds ways to win tennis matches that she shouldn't really win, and she stays alive in tournaments. And as we know, in any sport, they're the best wins, the ones where you're not playing as well as you possibly can, and but you find a way to win just to stay alive.
What about the fire in your own belly, Darren? It's a pretty exacting career you've taken on. When you have a family and you're on the global scene, the travel component is fairly savage. How many weeks away would you be from your family, or do you take them with you, or are they old enough for that it's all okay? Give us a bit of an insight into the path that you've travelled.
Well, my wife is pretty smart. She's been with me for about 30 years now, so she likes to pick and choose the good events to come away to. So she's got free rein as to when she wants to come and when she wants to stay home. But that's part of the deal, is that if I'm going to do this job and going to be away for about 30 to 35 weeks of the year, whenever the family wants to come away, they're more than welcome to. So more than often, we'll find Victoria and the kids at Wimbledon, coming across to the Australian Open. Indian Wells and Miami are a couple of great events as well. So, yeah, it is a demanding sport. If you're not up to the travel, and forget it. And that's being a tennis player, but also being a coach. And that's why I think you find a lot less former players. And especially, I'm talking about the top ones, not myself, but I'm talking about the Boris Beckers, Stefan Edbergs, Ivan Lendl's. You know, they dip their toes into coaching every now and then, but it's difficult to do it year in, year out. But for me, it's the next best thing to playing. For me, I had my career cut a little bit short because of knee injuries, and I jumped straight into coaching. And I was really, really fortunate. I had Leighton Hewitt as my first go around. And when you have a player like that, it's sort of, you talk about the fire in the belly. It certainly put the fire in the belly having him. And from there, I had a couple of great opportunities with Andre and then with Simona. So for me, it's the next best thing to playing, and I thoroughly enjoy it.
Further, Darren, you mentioned Leighton Hewitt, number one star, Simona Halep, one of the great women's players. What do you spend your time on? It's not like you're going to teach them how to hit a forehand. What do you spend most of your time talking to them about then?
Actually, Jimmy, you'd be surprised that a lot of it is still technical, and a lot of it is the stuff that you take for granted. And if you talk about football, we talk about goal kicking all the time in football as well. And, the simple stuff, the skill stuff that can get left behind, because we're making these athletes so damn good these days that sometimes you forget about the simple stuff. And for us, it's the kill shot. It's you do all the hard work. You play a Rafa Novak rally where you're running from corner to corner and hitting 20 great ground strokes, but you finally get that short ball. If you don't practice that short ball, you're not going to make it. So why in the hell do you do all that work to get yourself into a winning position? That's what we spend a lot of time on. You're right, I don't have to teach her how to hit the meat and potatoes ground stroke, but teaching the player to learn when to transition forward, to come and hit that swing volley, to use the overhead, to use that slide serve out wide at the right time, and then position yourself on the court to take advantage of that, to squeeze a little bit of time out of your opponent. It's never ending, and tennis is a little bit like a chess game at times as well, because it's just one-on-one. So there's always ways you can get better.
It is amazing the parallels between your two sports, AFL football and, of course, tennis. And there are very many similarities. What you can't do technically, you can't do tactically. And we went from a really skill-based game in the 80s to a really tactical-based game as the 2000s emerged. And I still feel that, given the time constraints on players, that we're in a position as a code that we ignore some of the basics with players coming through now incapable of being gifted on both sides of their body, whereas that was a given in the 80s.
You're describing the water that we've been drowning in, right, for the last 5 or 10 years, I reckon, and especially in tennis. And I just look at the tennis players. You look at the best. Novak, he never transitioned forward well to the net, and he realized pretty quickly for him to take his game to the next level, he had to learn to come in and volley well and to improve his overhead. Andy Murray did exactly the same. Federer could always do it, but he had to go back to it to be able to continue to compete at that top level. And the person in the men's game that transitions forward better than anyone is Nadal. I don't know if you ever watch him closely, but every single time he has an opportunity to squeeze his opponent for a little bit of time, he's like a sprinter coming out of the box to try to get to the net as quickly as possible. So quite often I'll take Simona to where Rafa's either playing or practicing, and we use him as a bit of a template for what we're trying to achieve in her game, and to try to find ways for her to transition forward. So, and the other thing also is she's 29 years of age now, and you've got to find ways to free up your body, and so it doesn't take that pounding left and right all the time. And if you can shorten a few points, that means you can extend your career.
So where do you see tennis evolving to at the present time? It's been rocked in many ways, more than most codes, given that we were transitioning away from Davis Cup to ATP Cup and to team events. Davis Cup still hanging around to a slight degree, not so much this year or last year, but where do you see it evolving post-COVID in the next 5 years or so?
That's a great question, Jared. Honestly, I'm not 100% sure. Look, tennis is in a good shape. We talk about tennis here in Australia or even the US, and maybe it's not at the forefront of everybody's thinking, but you go to Europe, you know, Simona is a rock star across in Romania, and she's the highest profile athlete there by far, and I know a lot of the European tennis ratings when she's playing, they go through the roof when she's on. So, and you can say the same for Nadal, you can say the same for Federer, for Djokovic. So in Europe, it's huge, but we need to do a better job here in Australia, and especially in the US. And we need to do a much better job of getting more mainstream TV, tennis on TV, and making it attractive for the viewers. So when we have Federer, Nadal, Djokovic, Serena Williams, Venus Williams, you know, a lot of those players are not going to play forever. When they do decide to retire, we need the younger generation to step up. And what has been encouraging is we're starting to see a few of those players. We saw Dominic win the US Open, Dominic Thiem, last year. Yep. Zverev's made it to a final. We've got some younger players in the women's game as well that are coming through that are incredibly exciting, with Naomi Osaka and Świątek. I don't know if you got a chance to see her play across at the French Open last year, but she was amazing during that tournament. So there are some new names coming through, and we have to make them superstars of the game and just forge on once all the top players do decide to retire. Hopefully that's not too soon, though.
We could keep talking for hours on various topics. We're getting wound up here, though, Darren. Tell me this. Are you a bigger name in Romania or South Australia?
Oh, for sure, Romania. Look, it's... I'm Jack's son over here in South Australia, and I've never been able to step out of that shadow. So I'm quite happy being Jack's son here in South Australia, but I'm more than happy being Simona Halep's coach across in Romania, that's for sure.
And have you got more pull at board level, or has Roger Rashid got more pull from the cheap seats?
No, Roger Rashid, he's the king here of South Australia. So he and Koshy, they are basically running the club.
Mate, great to have you on board. It's really exciting that we're having a tournament. Obviously, there's all sorts of dramas around it. But once the players get here, and hopefully, with the grace of God, we don't have a drama with the virus, the tournament gets underway. And, well, Simona Halep, you may be there helping you lift the chalice in about 4 weeks' time. All the best and good luck.
No, thank you. And big props also to Craig Tiley and Tennis Australia for making it happen. Goody, guys.
Darren Carr, coach of Simona Halep, board member of the Adelaide Power, Port Adelaide Power, I should say, and a serious commentator with ESPN. That's the build-up, the Australian Open, and it's today's APCO Hop topic. You can win a barbecue, and there's a winner in every store. APCO Service Stations, we've got you covered. More Sports Day right after this.